We have redemption through Christ and through his blood. We are delivered from the grip of a situation from which we could never have freed ourselves.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
A loving father delights to give gifts to his children. One of the great joys of myself as a father is to give gifts to my children. In fact, it's very difficult for me to withhold gifts. We buy gifts in June or July on sale for Christmas time, and I just soon go home and give them to them right then. My wife has to restrain me. A loving father delights to give gifts to his children. In fact, our Father, our Heavenly Father, is more anxious to give than we are to receive. Jesus taught that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Acts 20 and verse 35, according to the word of the Apostle Paul, the pen of Luke. And it's evident in his life that he practiced what he taught. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And Jesus is always giving. While he was here, he received very little, except the hostility of pagan men. But he gave everything for your well-being and for mine. And he taught, Jesus taught, that God's giving is always an expression of God's loving, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he taught that God's loving giving is characterized by the giving of the very best that he has. He gave his only begotten Son, the very best that he had, God gives. God gives the very best that he has for you and me. The gifts of God are just like that. The scripture teaches that believers are people who have been given all kinds of wonderful things. In fact, it's impossible to catalog all the things that we've been given. Just take the word give or gift or given in an English concordance, a Bible concordance, and trace through from Genesis to Revelation all the things of which we are the recipients from the hand of God. We're taught, for example, that God gives light to dispel the darkness, Ephesians 5 and verse 14. We're taught that God gives grace to expel the defilement which can come into our lives, Romans 15 and verse 15. We're taught that God gives victory to expel defeat, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57. We're taught that God gives life, and when God gives life, he gives eternal life to expel death, 1 John 5 and verse 11. We're taught that God gives strength to expel the great demands that come upon our lives, Psalm 68 and verse 35. We're taught that God gives comfort, everlasting consolation, and good hope. He gives comfort and hope to expel despair, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 16. And that's just a sampling, a minute sampling of a host of gifts that God bestows upon his children. God's gifts are good, we're taught in the Bible. James chapter 1 and verse 17, every good gift is from above, the Bible says, and cometh down from the Father of lights, James 1 and verse 17. God's gifts are good, and we're taught that they're irrevocable. Romans 11 and verse 29, for the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. He doesn't reclaim them. Once he gives them, he doesn't take them back. He doesn't reclaim them. He does hold us accountable for our stewardship of them, but he doesn't reclaim them. So Paul, in Ephesians chapter 1, and verses 7 to 10, and we could go further in the narrative, but we don't have time. Paul, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 7 to 10, shares with us some of God's great gifts, which are ours through Jesus Christ. And they're something that we ought to focus upon, remind ourselves of from time to time, and thank God for, rejoice in. They can inspire us, they can encourage us, they can motivate us, as we're reminded of all the blessings we are the recipients of through our Lord Jesus Christ. All of those who are listening by the radio, every person ought to lay claim by faith to God's gifts. I hope you have three of them I'm going to share with you. I hope you've laid claim to them by faith. Every person ought to lay claim by faith to God's gifts and be filled with a spirit of gratitude for all that they achieve in his life. We ought to lay claim to God's gifts by faith, and we ought to be filled with a spirit of gratitude for all that they achieve in our lives. What are some of God's gifts in this passage? There are three of God's great gifts unfolded in this passage. Number one is emancipation, first part of verse 7. To be emancipated means to be set free. Paul wants us to know that Jesus Christ is the greatest liberator in the universe. You shall know the truth, and Jesus is the truth. The truth is in Jesus. I am the truth, Jesus said. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Jesus Christ is the greatest liberator in the universe. And Paul says we have emancipation. We've been set free. You notice he says there in verse 7, in whom we have redemption. That means to be emancipated. It means to be set free. In whom we have redemption through his blood. And then Paul says beyond emancipation, Paul says there's cancellation. He says in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And that word forgiveness means the cancellation of a debt. Great news for everyone who identifies by faith with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here with a burden of guilt over your head and you know that you're a sinner and you're out of touch with God and you don't know that you're saved, you can be forgiven. Your debt can be canceled. That's one of the gifts God gives to us. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, cancellation. And then when we've experienced God's emancipation and cancellation, then we need information so we can continue growing and maturing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Paul says God gives to us, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, gives us information. Having made known, there's information, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. And he identifies that mystery, verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Those are the three great gifts that God gives to us in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 to 10. Emancipation, cancellation, information. All of them profound in their effect, and all of them of great, beneficent value to the people of God. And to anyone who lay claim to them by faith. Now let's look at them for just a moment. First of all, there's emancipation. You notice Paul says in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. The redemptive concept is a very precious concept. And Paul uses one of a number of words that are translated to redeem or redemption in the New Testament. He uses a very powerful and very special word, apolutrosis. And that was the word that was used in ancient documents for ransoming a man who is a prisoner of war or a slave, apolutrosis. That was the word that was used for freeing a man from the penalty of death. He had committed a capital crime. He was on death row, so to speak. And in a theological sense, that's where we are. The wages of sin is death, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we're redeemed from that penalty through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was used of the freeing of a man from the penalty of death. It was used for God's delivering of the children of Israel from their slavery in Egypt. In every case, that word apolutrosis, in every case, the conception is the same. The delivering of a man from a situation from which he was powerless to liberate himself, or from a penalty which he could never have paid on his own. That is redemption. And we have redemption through Christ and through his blood. We are delivered from the grip of a situation from which we could never have freed ourselves, from a debt that we could never have paid. When Jesus Christ came into the world, men were haunted by the sense of their own powerlessness. They knew, the ancient documents tell us that, they knew the wrongness of the life which they were living, and they also knew that they were powerless to do anything about it. The highest thinkers, the greatest thinkers of the ancient world knew these things, and they spoke freely about them. Seneca, you've heard of him perhaps. Seneca, the Roman philosopher and the council of the Caesars, said with a kind of despair, men love their sins and hate them simultaneously. They love their sins and they hate them at the same moment. They have a warped, addictive love for them, but they despise them because they know they're destroying them and they want to be free of them, but they can't be free of them. They're powerless. They're impotent to help themselves. When Jesus came into the world, men were haunted with that. Seneca said, what men need is a hand. Listen, Seneca, a pagan philosopher, he didn't know Jesus Christ. He wasn't a believer in any sense of the term. What men need is a hand let down to help them up. He didn't realize what he was saying. He didn't know how much Christology there was in that statement. That's what Jesus came to do. Jesus is the hand of God, so to speak, let down to help men meet their needs and deliver them from the impossible situations. In other words, men need emancipation from the vice grip of sin. They need an act of power which will extricate them from sin's corrupting influence. And that is precisely what Jesus Christ brought in redemption. That's it, precisely what he gives to us in the truest, in the deepest, and in the most profound sense. Christians are those who have been emancipated, they've been liberated, they've been ransomed and rescued through the awesome expenditure of the blood of Jesus Christ. We are redeemed through his blood. You know, Paul teaches us in that little statement, and what I've said to this point, Paul teaches us two things about redemption. He teaches us, number one, that redemption requires power, and Jesus Christ is omnipotent. Redemption requires power. Emancipation is an act of power. It takes power to ransom a slave or a prisoner of war. It takes power to free a man from the death penalty. It takes power to deliver a rebellious Israel from a pagan Egypt. And it takes power to extricate a man from the vice grip of sin. And that is the power that only Jesus Christ has. Nobody else has it. You find redemption only in the Son of God. So he teaches us, number one, that redemption requires power. He teaches us, number two, that redemption requires a price or a payment. In whom we have redemption? Through his blood. The payment is the shed blood. See if you follow me now. The payment is, the price is the shed blood of an innocent and infinite personality. There were innocent victims in the Old Testament sacrificial system who were slain, but they were not personalities, they were animals, nor were they infinite personalities. The price that is required for the redemption of humanity is the shed blood of an innocent, that means sinless, and infinite, that means divine, personality. That is the price that only Jesus Christ can pay. Only he has the power. And only he can make the payment. The blood of bulls and goats is impotent. It can never take away sins, Hebrews says. But the blood of Jesus Christ is omnipotent. There is infinite efficacy which flows out from an infinite personality, and that's what Jesus is. That's the first great gift, emancipation. We need to be reminded of it. That's what we have. That's what we are. We are emancipated through the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
God enlightens them with respect to the goal of history, and he reaffirms to them that history is neither meaningless nor purposeless. It is moving toward a glorious end.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.